Well, this Feast of the Holy Family is one of my favorite feasts to preach on. And it comes at a perfect time of year, doesn't it? When during this holiday time, as I mentioned, how many of us are spending more time with our families and our extended families than usual. So it's a good time to reflect on the gift of family. Obviously, our families are critically important to us. They're the place where we receive the gift of life, where we learn how to love and give and share and sacrifice. In our Catholic tradition, marriage is a sacrament because it reflects God's love for us in the world. And so that's so important, God's love, which is personal, fruitful, and faithful. So to all you married couples out there, we thank you for being reflections of God's love in our world, and to your families and beyond your families, to the whole community. And it's interesting that God chose a human family to be the place for his incarnation. It wasn't on some mountaintop or some forest. It was in a human family that God chose to become one of us. And Jesus chose the wedding feast of Cana to perform his first miracle. But at the same time that families are very special and important and sacred, families can be really, really messy. There's no perfect family. There's no perfect parents. There's no perfect kids. And sadly, families, besides being a place of love and nurture for us, are often places where we experience deep hurt as well, and little hurts. I jokingly, but also truthfully, refer to my family and say I come from a normally dysfunctional family. I love my family. My parents, Jerry and Catherine, were really good Catholic people. My brothers are good guys, but we were certainly not perfect. They were not the perfect parents. Their marriage was far from perfect. I wasn't the perfect son, and God knows my two brothers were not the perfect sons. But yet at the same time, I feel grateful that I always knew I was loved and cared for and provided for. So I'm grateful for my family, and I'm grateful for Jerry and Catherine, and for Jerry and Tom, my two brothers. Even the preteen Jesus, we should kind of look at this gospel that we just heard for what it is and not make it too pious. I mean, the preteen Jesus caused his parents a lot of anxiety and grief when he stayed behind in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Passover, and they didn't know where he was. For 3 days, he didn't say that he was not going to come by, and his mother, you know, after finding him, said, "Jesus, why have you done this to us? Why have you done this to us? Didn't you know that your father and I were worried about you?" He was kind of being a brat. I mean, he's being a rebellious teenager. Those of you who are parents, imagine your middle schooler disappearing for 3 days and not saying where he or she is. I don't think you'd be very happy. I think you'd be worried sick. And when you saw them, you'd probably hug them, and then you'd probably shake them as well and say, "Well, what were you thinking?" And obviously, conflicts are inevitable in families and with the people that we love the most. But as I mentioned, I think most of us, hopefully, and I know I am very grateful for my family, knowing that I was loved and cared for and provided for. So let's look at today's readings. The gospel I already mentioned, where we experience Jesus as a rebellious teenager. The reading from Sirach reminds us of our duty to take care of our elderly parents. I love this reading where it says, "My son, take care of your father when he is old, even if his mind fail. Be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of your life." Obviously, this is true for daughters and mothers as well. So for you young people out there, you know, there'll be a time when you have to take care of your parents, and they may get forgetful and become feeble-minded, but don't revile them. So just remember that. I also loved when it says, fathers, don't provoke your sons. And I saw one of the sons out there poking his father and having a little laugh together. Did you hear that, Dad? So I think that, you know, many of you out there are in the situation of caring for elderly parents or aunts or uncles, as well as taking care of children at home. And today we're having a collection for retired religious, the sisters and brothers who cared for many of us in school or in other places. The Colossians reading, you might think, Father Warren, why did you choose that Colossians reading? There was an option. I didn't have to choose it. There was also a shortened form, so I chose it deliberately. It's obviously a risky reading when Paul admonishes wives be subordinate to your husbands. But that obviously has to be taken in the context of the Greco-Roman culture of St. Paul's time, when the father of the family had total control and power over the family. But St. Paul kind of contextualizes it and says, as is proper in the Lord. So he softens it. Because if a Christian woman was married to a pagan husband, she would have to kind of follow the rules and go along with cultural norms, but as is proper in the Lord. And then he goes on and admonishes husbands to love their wives. And Chuck, you read that very, very well, so emphasizing each phrase. And to avoid bitterness towards them. And he tells, as I mentioned before, mentions to fathers, do not provoke your children so they may not become discouraged. And I'll say more about that. And he reminds children to obey your parents. Obviously, the whole context of this reading from Colossians is love. St. Paul says, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And obviously, forgiveness is such an important thing in family life. And above all, put on love, and let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, and be thankful. Be thankful. So I'd like now to share a few things with you from my decades of experience working with teenagers and their families. In those decades, I did a lot of observing, a lot of listening, and I did learn a little bit about what kind of works in families and what doesn't work just by observing and listening. So I'd like to just share a couple of thoughts. These are things that we all know, but I think hopefully they'll be helpful reminders. So I say to parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and mentors, anybody who's in a parental position, make sure that your children know that you love them. Let them know that you love them. And that might sound so obvious, but it's not. When I was a high school counselor back in my early 20s, and I would hear these teenage boys talk about their parents, and they seemed like I heard about these parents, and I thought, oh my God, they're awful people. And when I met them, I would think, how could they be so mean? And I expected to see people with horns and pitchforks. But I met them, and they were just like normal people. So don't assume that your children know that you love them. When you're disciplining them, when you're saying no, when you're setting limits and curfews, don't take for granted that they understand that this is done out of love. Make sure you tell them and show them in many ways that you love them. That's really, really important. And it's also important, parents, to set limits. Your children need limits. You can be their friend later. And also, parents, let your children know that you're proud of them. That's so, so important. Don't be overly critical, but be positive. I remember one student told me back when I was a high school counselor, he said, Father, you know, no matter how hard I try, it's never good enough for my parents. I'm never good enough. And I thought, oh, you know, how sad that is. And don't do that to your kids. Let them know that you are proud of them. Obviously, you want to push them to do their best, but in the process, make sure you know that you are proud of them and their accomplishments. That's really, really important. And I know in my own case, when I was ordained a deacon over 40 years ago, and we were at the ordination party, And my mother put her hand on my knee and said, "Warren, your father and I are very proud of you." And I know that that meant very much to me then, and it means a lot to me now, and it's something, obviously, I never forgot. So I'm really grateful for that. But I think everyone wants to make their parents proud. And so, obviously, that's something that as sons and daughters we need to do. But as parents and grandparents and mentors, we need to let our children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews know that we are proud of them. And a word to children and teens, know that when your parents discipline you and say no and set limits, that they're really doing that out of love. You need those limits. And eventually you will look back and be grateful that you've had parents that loved you enough to say no, and even though you might be angry. I know at the 4:30 Mass, one of the dads came in with a couple of teenage daughters, and he said, "I'm pretty sure my daughter's really mad at me right now." You know, that happens. Kids are going to get mad at their parents when you're acting as parents. It's like your job. It just is. But for children and teens to know when your parents do that, those things, that they're doing it out of love and wanting what's best for you. I'd also say to children and teens, say thank you. When your parents do things for you, when they cook a meal for you, when they maybe wash your clothes, when they drive you places, say thank you. It can mean so much. Don't take them for granted. Your parents are not your servants. They are your parents. So say thank you when they do things for you. And let your parents know that you love them. That will make their day. Say, "Mom, I really love you. Thank you for all you do for me." That will make her day. And the same for Dad, the same for Grandpa and Grandma and Aunt and Uncle. And you might get some benefits out of that as well. And so I think both children and parents, as well as spouses, this is my fourth and last point, when necessary, say you're sorry. None of us is at our best all the time, and sometimes we need to say, "I'm sorry." So there's four phrases that I really think we can never say enough. I love you, thank you, I'm proud of you, and when necessary, I'm sorry. And those four phrases, I think, are so, so important. So I'm actually giving you an assignment today. At the sign of peace, if you're here with family members, say one or two of those phrases. Say, "I love you," "thank you," "I'm proud of you," and if necessary, "I'm sorry." Say those things at the sign of peace. Or when you get home, get on the phone and call a family member and say that to them. And at this Mass, at this celebration of the Holy Family, let us really be grateful for our families. Let us give thanks for our families. Even if they are very imperfect, they are the places where God put us to grow in grace and wisdom and love. This is where God put us. God planted us to grow in this family. And so let us be grateful for the opportunities that this family gives us to grow in love. Even if the family's not perfect, even if the family's a source of pain at times, let us be grateful for the opportunities that this family has given us to grow in love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.